Our study this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. As we want to focus in on the word duty this morning. Yes, duty means that which is due, and since God is man's creator, what is man's duty to God? You know, Moses, in preparing the children of Israel to enter into the promised land, told them, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." Deuteronomy 13:4. So as we go to Proverbs chapter 3, we'll notice the inspired Solomon gives we, as students of God's Word, instructions on man's duty to God. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we keep mentioning PFE. The initials will help us to stay focused as we understand what is more important than preparing for eternity. That's right. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together to study God's precious Word, of course, in our Bible classes. Then, as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth in accordance to John 4:24. Thus, we want to have a proper attitude in spirit, but in truth is following the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament. We're not following the Old Testament covenant. That law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. But we are to follow the New Covenant, of course, the law of Christ. And that's what we're striving to do, and we hope you'll join in with us and you'll receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies, studying the Word of God together, answering questions that you may have. Of course, we're always glad to answer Bible questions, and we appreciate your comments, positive or negative, again. But having a study together, we're able to do so much more. And I hope you'll let us know, and we'll set that up at your convenience. Also, Bible correspondence courses are available. But again, let me give the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our sermons going back to, I think it's about 2021, that are available, and also our bulletins with good sound articles there, and information about our times of service, and of course our sick list that we want to pray for, and things like that. So let's get into our study concerning man's duty to God. And we're going to just go ahead and read Proverbs 3, 1 through 12, and then go back and break this down in our study. Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So we start out with the first four verses. This is man, the fact that man is to do the will of God, as we're emphasizing that this morning. Now the context, as you go back to chapter 2, we find wisdom is the subject, and the benefits of wisdom, of course, are given as we start in now to chapter 3. My son, forget not thy law. Well, of course, Solomon had a son, but more than one, of course. But is not this teaching of Solomon coming from God as he's inspired? And so, as you get down to verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Well, the truth is coming from God. It's God's word, in other words. So man is to do the will of God, as these verses are emphasizing here. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, this, of course, is in a general sense. People that have followed the truth have died before reaching an old age. We know that. But they still had the best life possible. But I want to emphasize this. Does not God know what is best for man? Well, we all should answer, of course he does. So imagine if everyone obeyed God's commandments. There would be no broken homes, no crime, no child abuse, no obscene books, movies, no division, and on I could go. Well, we know that not everybody obeys God's commands. That's a fact that we cannot deny. But for us, right now, each one of us, will we choose to obey God or man? We have a choice. We have the free moral agency ability that God gave us to make our choice. Well, look at Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, that's plain, and no one should miss it. But again, what choice do we make? In order to do God's will, we must know the truth. We have to know the truth. And of course, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. And let's not forget it. Remember what Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him. This is John 8:31 and 32. If you continue in my word, indeed, then ye are my disciples indeed, rather. And here it is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's right. If we continue in his word, then we are his disciples indeed. Now, look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand we're under the new covenant, the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses or the patriarchal law. So we rightly divide the word of truth. And we obey the law of Christ if we want to do the will of God. And we have that duty, yes, to do the will of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. How many people today do not even take the time to study the word of God? It's sad. Well, let's go on though. Now we're going to look at 5-7. Notice, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not half a heart, but all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Now notice, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Man is to depend on God and to deny a self-dependence. That's right. You know, to trust in someone is to be dependent on that someone. Will you fall backwards and allow just anyone to catch you? You're not seeing behind you, and so you just fall back. Well, the person behind you better be someone you trust. Man will let us down. But God is faithful. That's right. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. There it is. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're called by the gospel. But the question is, have we obeyed the gospel? And do we recognize that God is faithful? And keep that in our hearts and not turn loose of it. Look at 1 Corinthians now, chapter 10, 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It's there. We need to look for it. And we can get out of that temptation because God is faithful. Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Well, that's exactly right, and everybody should say amen. Amen. But let's go on here. Notice, a man that puts his trust in himself puts his trust in a fool. Yes, that's right. Because he denies his need for his Creator. Let's not be in that situation of putting our trust in ourself. Look at Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man is incapable of doing just that. He cannot direct his own steps. So we turn to God and allow him to direct our steps. Otherwise, we're going to go the wrong way. That's right. There's only one way in which man can have an eternal home in heaven. John 14:6. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The question is, are we going that way? The way of Christ. Notice Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, notice, number one, let him deny himself. Number two, and take up his cross daily. And number three, follow me. We must deny self if we're going to trust God and allow Him to direct our steps. So do we really depend on God? Well, let's examine ourselves. All of us. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We need to examine ourselves. I'm pointing my finger right at myself. Do we believe God answers our prayers? Are we praying like we believe God answers our prayers? Number 2, do we study God's Word with an open mind, willing to change when we see that we haven't been right about a spiritual matter? Be willing to change. But let's go on now to verses 7 and 8. We mentioned 7 before. This is the latter part, after fear of the Lord. And depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So in studying man is with duty to God, his duty is certainly to depart from evil because of his reverence for the Lord. You know, God is absolute holiness. We all should know that. Therefore, man is to be holy as well. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's right. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is our responsibility to be holy as we're serving God, and it's our duty to God to be holy. Reverence is another word for fear, and God is due our reverence. A godly fear, not fearing and trembling in the corner and not willing to do anything, but have a deep abiding respect for God. Reverence Him. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's right. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, hate sin, not the sinner. We're not to hate anyone. Love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. Yes, we're not to hate anyone, but we are to hate evil and to hate sin. You know, one cannot follow Christ and evil at the same time. Look at Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. That's right. And look at Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Are we with Jesus and staying in His church, His kingdom? Or are we against Him by being out of the kingdom and not serving God and serving Satan instead? And that's scattering abroad, isn't it? You're not gathering with the Lord, but scattering abroad if we're in that situation. But let's go on. Let's notice now verses 9 and 10. Again, we're seeing man's duty to God. Notice 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Well, new wine is not intoxicating wine. Of course not. That's grape juice. You can look at Isaiah 65, about verse 8, I believe it is, where the new wine was in the cluster of the grapes. So that's not alcoholic wine, as some want to indicate. But here's the point. Man is to depart from evil because of his reverence for the Lord. Well, we just covered that. I'm sorry. Man is to devote himself to God. This is the next point. We emphasize the reverence, so let's keep that in mind. But here in 9 and 10, we're looking at the fact that man is to devote himself to God. So we asked ourselves, is God first in our lives? Who or what could be more important? Look at Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll have what we need. But put God first and his kingdom, which is the church of Christ, the church that Jesus purchased with his precious blood. It bears his name because it's his body, and he is the head of his body, the spiritual body of Christ. Matthew 16:26. Let's notice Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What about that? Well, we don't want to lose our soul, but let's not exchange it. You know, our actions must honor God. Man is to devote himself to God. So our actions must honor God. Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and, notice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice like the animals in the Old Testament. We're a living sacrifice. So our actions must honor God. And how can one honor God and willfully forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? Hebrews 10:25. We should want to be with the saints and worship God if we're able, of course, and not sick and in the bed or taking care of a sick child or something like that. But if we're able, and we don't desire to honor God and be with our brethren, we have a spiritual problem that needs to be corrected. How can one hide their talents and honor God? Well, they can't. As you study Matthew 25:24-30, don't have time to read that, but the talents. One man hid his, and that wasn't well received by his master when he returned, was it? But let's go on in our study now of verses 11 and 12 and finish up our study of Proverbs 3:1-12. Proverbs 3, as we've looked at now, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Parents, do we discipline our children? We should, if we love them. I know I received switching from mother, and dad gave the belt to my backside. It got my attention. And you know what? I'm thankful for every stripe I received from my parents because they loved me. And they wanted to see me do right, not wrong. So they corrected me. That's right, but nowadays, of course, that's no longer acceptable, especially in public. You could get arrested, I guess. Well, where has that gotten us? We discipline our children because we love them. That's why we discipline them. And the same is true with our Father in heaven. If we're His children. Look at Hebrews 12 now, 6 through 11. I want to take the time to look at this. Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It wasn't joyous when I received those switchings and the belt. It wasn't joyous at all, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let us not despise the discipline of God, because God first loved us, and we are to love God with all our being. 1 John 4:19. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This was the first and greatest commandment. And the second was likened unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, that's right. Now, as we close out our study of man's duty to God here in Proverbs 3:1-12, we just studied. Imagine if someone saved your life. What would be your reaction to that person? You know, God, the second person of the Godhead, left heaven to die for the sins of man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. John 1:14. Romans 5:8. Let's look at it. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That should motivate us all to do the will of God. To do the will of God as we started out our study. We're to depend on God and deny our self-dependence. We're to depart from evil and reverence God. We are to devote ourselves to God, are we not? And we're not to despise discipline from God. So what should be our response to our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, and Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you in doing so. And we'll study further. And we want to thank you so very much for listening today.